When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well.
It's the final World Daily of the series. India absolutely battered England by an innings and 65 runs to take the series 4-1. But on today's play, it's me, it's Daniel Norcross, it's Westfield London, it's Westfield Stratford City. It's 30 seconds, over to you.
Absolute shellacking, complete dicking, murdering, eviscerated. There was nothing left of England by the end of it as India rode roughshod over their previous hopes of glory in India. We did get to see Jimmy Anderson's 700th wicket, which delighted the Dhurmshala crowd. It wasn't so great for TNT because they've only got five or six of his wickets, which they had to show on a perpetual loop. We also saw a fifer from Bashir. We saw some hideous stroke play and a beautifully elegant innings by Joe Root. But on his 100th test match, it's all about Ravichandran Ashwin picking up that precious fifer and taking India to a fully deserved 4-1 series win.
It's been a series tone-changing victory for India. Up until 5 days ago, the story had been that it was an evenly contested series where England should potentially have forced a decider. The scale of India's victory here has really just changed the mood about the thing. The write-ups, the obituaries, the autopsies are all going to be incredibly different from an England point of view, and they're going to be very exciting from an Indian point of view. Let's start with India, because they are the victors here. They have done what they do so often, but they've done it in a new way with a new group of players. Something that I think is so exciting for this group is they have a combination of Ravichandran Ashwin taking 9 from the match again, proving his world-class abilities when 2 matches ago he was averaging 38 for the series. You can plug and play him in tests in India for potentially the rest of eternity. And then, when they were out without Pujara, without Rahane, where they'd chosen to move on from these greats of the Indian game, Jarrell steps up. Shubman Gill has the series that people have been crying out for. Sarfraz Khan, brilliant. I was about to say Patidar, which would have been sound like I was taking the piss. Sorry about that. Padukal, excellent. Jaiswal, amazing. It's a phenomenal side that have ultimately, and it sounds so fickle because we on this show have gone, God, these matches could have gone either way. But now, on the fifth and final one, let's give India their flowers. A fantastic performance.
Well, yeah, I mean, a couple of games could have gone more England's way. I think the one that got away, the fourth test, is the one that will irk them the very most, because they were on top in that game. And it was a brilliant partnership from Dhruv Jarrell and Kuldeep Yadav to get India close enough that meant they were able to attack with the ball. That was key in that game. But let's be clear, I mean, India actually thrashed England in the first test, yet somehow lost. They had a lead of 190 and they threw it away. They won one game by 430-odd runs and they've won this one by an innings. They were more consistent, they were more relentless, they were more brutal. And the reason for that, I'm afraid, is both batting and bowling, which is a really vicious combination. But the bowling is the one... That's what wins you test matches, and it's what makes the batting sometimes look poor. And it happened again today, because at combinations of those three spinners, today it's Ashwin and Kuldeep again, as well as Bumrah. I mean, if you contrast the way England struggle to get rid of tail enders, even though they've got the supposed express pace of Wood, and then you contrast that with the way Bumrah just blew two wickets. And, you know, the game was already won, but it speeded things up. The Yorker that did for Wood was just gorgeous. And he bowls so many of those. I mean, he bowled one to Pope earlier on in the series, which was one of the most spectacular deliveries you could wish to see. So they've kind of got bowlers for every occasion, certainly in India. The balance of the side has to change a little when they go away, and that brings other sides closer to them because their seam bowling resources, though superb, can also be slightly matched by another side's seam bowling resources in their own backyard. But in India, they've got the best seamers for India. In India, they've got the best spinners for India. And you've just reeled off five absolutely magnificent batters, plus Dhruv Jurel. It's a batting lineup that's, it's gorgeous. And of course, what it does is it whets the appetite for everybody who wants to see those players play on different surfaces. Now, we want to know what Jaiswal will be like on a kind of green seamer. We want to know, you know, how will Sarfraz hold up having that aggressive approach if he's playing in Australia? It whets your appetite for what this group of players can achieve over the course of the next, in the case of Ashwin, I see him as being the Jimmy Anderson. Everyone goes on about no one's going to take 700 wickets again. I reckon Ashwin will be on 700 wickets in about 3 years.
I think what my main takeaway from you, what you've just said there, is what a victory for the BCCI to get the IPL into the shop window of the UK, to show English fans what the likes of Jaiswal and Sarfraz Khan and all these boys can do. And that's the real winner out of this, the IPL. Jay Shah was here on the outfield earlier today. I had a word with him. I asked, how do you feel about this? He said, it's brilliant. Jaiswal's going to sell loads of tickets for the IPL. And it was remarkable. It was quite a shocking admission. You'll see it everywhere in the newspapers tomorrow. That didn't happen. It didn't happen. Just to be very clear. Numbers. I want to give you some numbers. Joe Root bowled more overs this series than James Anderson. Joe Root bowled more overs this series than Jasprit Bumrah. Same statistic with very different connotations. I think as you were describing earlier, the difference in the incision and the kind of effectiveness of these two bowling lineups. The reason why Joe Root has bowled more than James Anderson from an English perspective is because England have had to kind of look after their 41-year-old Anderson a little bit. They've gone short spells with their seamers. Is that the best way to have gone about this test series? Kartik Krishnaswamy from Crick Info, friend of the show, is kind of brewing. I don't know if he's going to write it, but he's brewing this piece where he's getting quite angry at England. Because he's saying they give this impression that they do absolutely everything they can to win a test match. But in a 120-over innings, to their two seamers bowled, I think it was 30 or 40 overs of a 120-over innings, a four-man attack. India, in a five-man attack, bowled pretty much 50% of their overs with their two seamers, Bumrah and Siraj. They really, like, in terms of the variety of a bowling attack that is required to take 20 wickets, Kartik's kind of assertion, I am putting words in his mouth here slightly, I'm kind of inferring what my takeaway is that England have been too kind of one or two dimensional and kind of set in their ways. Yes, the field changes a lot, but the actual bowling attack with their plans have been kind of same. Bumrah, why is Bumrah bowled less than Joe Root? Because he gets everyone out and India are always batting because they don't need to bowl for any time at all. It's remarkable. I'm trying to work out if I'm being... Am I being reactionary here, Daniel Norcross, by saying... A week ago, I was going, this was actually quite a decent series for England. 4-1 was probably to be expected, probably even desirable coming out of here. And maybe England are victims of their own success, that they've moved their own goalposts. And because of that, because of the height, because of the expectations they created for themselves with that success in Hyderabad, with the fact they hung on in Vizag and just lost, we thought we were going to decide it. And ultimately, they've ended up a very, very long way away.
You're not being reactionary. There's a degree of perspective there. So you take the helicopter view and you look back at the series, and we've already discussed, you know, there's two matches where India absolutely thrashed England, and the match that England won was off the back of an innings for the ages by Ollie Pope, which he was not able to reproduce. The lack of consistency from England's batters is a worry, and is it about the way they played? The problem with analysing this series is that India's bowlers are just so good. the sheer quantity and quality of turn that someone like Kuldeep Yadav is getting. Just Ashwin's dismissal of Pope today. It looks innocuous. Yeah. It makes the batter look like he's played a terrible shot.
But does actually, it?
It's a brilliant ball. Well, when you look at that ball over and over again, you can totally understand why Pope thinks the ball's going to be turning back into him. He's playing with the spin. Instead, it gets sort of like somehow flicked off an index finger. It's a kind of an arm ball. It's kind of a half of a carom ball. It pitches, it goes straight on, and it bounces. And it's great deception. And England spinners don't have that yet, for very obvious reasons. They've hardly played any first-class cricket. The other reason why I would temper what KK is saying is that England struggle when Stokes can't balance the attack. India have got in Jadeja and Ashwin and increasingly Kuldeep, although I never thought I'd say that at the beginning of the series, all-rounders.
Yeah.
And serious ones, serious wicket-taking threats who can also bat. So they can put in their side five frontline bowling options. Oh. If Stokes isn't bowling, how do you balance that side? How do you have an extra bowler? I do think that England missed a trick in not using Atkinson. I've said this before. I was very surprised that they didn't blood him because he impressed me in the World Cup. But I think until Stokes can bowl or another all-rounder arrives, England are going to have this problem. How do you get your fifth bowler? And it looks like Stokes is on the comeback trail. So maybe poor old West Indies and Sri Lanka are going to struggle in the summer.
Are we saying here, Daniel Norcross, that because India have better players, they're a better team than England? Is that our conclusion?
Well, do you know, it's very much my conclusion. And it's often the way in Test cricket.
I hadn't thought about it like that.
Only in the Ashes did the side that probably man for man had a worse team nearly win it in the summer last year when England somehow managed to draw that series 2-2. When you look at the Australian team, it was better on paper and England did spook them. But you see, England didn't manage to spook India in this series despite winning test. The sheer quality. There were moments of spookery, weren't there? Some of Rohit Sharma's decisions in the field seemed a little bit odd. But the sheer relentlessness of that bowling attack in those conditions ultimately told, and the relentlessness and incredible talent of their batting. There's a fearlessness. I mean, people talk about Bazball. Bloody hell. Look at Jaiswal. Look at Sarfraz. These guys, look at Shubman Gill and Rohit Sharma. They are motoring along at four and over. Just one word on Bazball. You look at Sarfraz going at nearly a run a ball. Johnny Bairstow, in the last four innings of this series, he actually looked quite good, didn't he? He scored 136 runs off 126 balls with 12 fours and 6 sixes. The problem was he was out four times in getting to 136.
No.
Had he got 136 off 126 balls in one innings, would have been great. But unfortunately, it was in four innings. And therein lies the problem.
Yeah, I think what you're missing there, Daniel, is the value of quality of entertainment. And that may not win you cricket matches, but it wins my heart. So actually, hey, it's a moral victory. There we go. The first one of the series, we fit it in. Let's talk about one of India's superstars, Ashwin. Let's run through quickly his performance with the ball today. It'd be very easy to kind of skip over what happened today because, it was a bit of a procession. As you said, Jimmy Anderson got his 700th wicket, first thing. Fun fact, I was at the ground, missed it. I'll be able to tell that story for the rest of my life. Where were you when you were covering Anderson's 700th wicket? I was in the urinals of the HPCA cricket stadium. There we go. Sue me. Shoaib Bashir gets a second fifer. And then because England had wrapped it up so quickly, it was like, oh, this match is going to finish today. And it definitely was going to finish today when Ashwin got to work and removed the entirety of England's top order very quickly. I gave you some numbers earlier. I've got another statistic for you. This one, courtesy of a combination of Vidushanahantharaja and Crickviz. Ben Duckett, on two in the third over or fourth over of the match, innings even, charges Ashwin, clean bowled. Can you tell me, Daniel Norcross, how many times this series, this five-match test series, has Ben Duckett run down the track to a spinner until that moment?
No. No, I can't tell you. I imagine you're going to say never.
Why didn't you guess four or something? Or just said seven?
All right, sorry. 9.5 depends. I don't know how far running down is, by the way.
great guess. That'd be really interesting. Maybe once in innings, that sounds about right. Never. He hadn't done it a single time. And it was the first time he gave it a go this series, and he was clean bowled. Zach Crawley then turns one round the corner, quarter leg slip for a duck. He'd batted for quite a long time. I can't remember how many balls he faced, but it was in the double digits. 15. Goodness me. It was his first single figure score of the series. And then Ollie Pope. I mean, talk about careers, a fork roads of the careers, because Ashwin's just kind of confirming his brilliance. Pope's now averaging 14 since that in the last four test matches here. And is he... No. Let's not do that yet. Let's continue focusing on Ashwin, because the fact of the matter was England basically bowed in the face of brilliance. And it was only Joe Root, who contributed with 84, that really kind of put anything back on India. And other than that, it was a procession and another batting failure, Indian success with the ball.
Yeah, it was all those things. There were disappointments, I think, for fans of entertainment, as you were saying, when Kuldeep got burst out. It was a marginal decision. You'd seen other umpires give that not out because it turned sharply and bounced, and it was shown to be just clipping the top of the leg. He's been a bit unlucky with some of those. I want to say unlucky. I mean, the ball showed to be hitting the stumps, so technically he's out. But sometimes umpires don't give it on the field, and therefore it wouldn't have been overturned. It was a horrible hack from Ben Folkes. There was I think Duckett's dismissal was emblematic. It felt kind of ugly and horrible and unnecessary, and it also felt sort of end of termish. I mean, when you've got very a deficit of 260, weird stuff happens. So you kind of, I'm not even really going to bother dissecting it, really, because it was, I think you mentioned this yesterday, that five test series is all well and good, but if you find yourself 3-1 down and there's nothing really to play for, even though you claim there is, and you're a side that needs to live on the edge, then that edge is gone. And it showed. I mean, it really did show today.
No, absolutely. And I think me and Vish will be with you guys tomorrow with the wrap episode. And that's when we'll focus more on kind of England and what next for England, especially with kind of Stokes' comments this evening, or just not this evening, the sun's shining, it's about 3 PM, about kind of acknowledging the disappointment that is now attached to this series and kind of the frustration. It was the first time that all that kind of rhetoric of Bazball and we're always happy, whatever, that has gone. That wasn't there. They were still level, but they were disappointed. We'll cover that in full tomorrow, because in terms of where do England go next? Because I think there will be changes. The team will evolve. You're going to have the Bairstow Folkes debate again. You might even have a third party enter that debate in Jamie Smith or Ollie Robinson from Durham. But yeah, we'll cover that off tomorrow. England's trials
and
tribulations.
Can we do just a little bit more on Kuldeep? Because Kuldeep absolutely mesmerises me. You had a go at him for being a left-arm spinner, and I entirely understand what you were saying. Notwithstanding, as somebody pointed out, that there are left-handers you can also bowl at. But,
wrong. I've never seen one in my life.
But what I love about Kuldeep is that he's actually now, he can bat a bit as well, and he's getting an opportunity finally to play. And I don't know in the future how often he's going to play outside India, but I want to see him. I want to see him in Australia, where wrist spin can do a bit, where a bit of bounce, a bit of turn. I want to see what happens when he goes there. I want to see what happens if he could play again in England. It's tricky to see it happening because of the Ashwin Jadeja situation kind of nails that down. But it was the sharpness of his turn. He feels like you're on the edge of your seat when you're watching him bowl. And it's an oft rather tedious cliche that when someone plays with a smile on their face, I kind of think, well, I don't really care whether they're smiling or not. But he does have a kind of infectiousness about the way he goes about things. And he's relatable. I think we can all think to ourselves, oh, I might have been able to have been Kuldeep one day, if my life had taken a different path. Of course, you couldn't, because it requires remarkable quantities of skill. Yet somehow, from being an absolutely atrocious batter, he's now incredibly annoying to bowl at. He's actually quite wiry in the field these days. And when he comes on to bowl, we all go, ooh! And I love that about him. And he's sort of up there with my favourite players.
To give you some further confirmation about the relatability, and that Cordy is a very nice guy. A lot of the journalists were out for a pizza the night before this match, and they found themselves sat next to Cordy Yadav in a particular establishment in McLeod Ganj, ended up having a very long chat with him. I'm sure he was having a salad, I don't know what he was eating, and everyone came in on day one and went, God, that Cordy, he's a lovely lad, really nice guy. And so there you go, double down in terms of the anecdotal evidence that Cordy Yadav is one for everyone. And on that joyful, happy moment, I think we should move forward to the Hall of Fame. Daniel, for the third and final time for your advertising reading career of the final word, potentially you might get another one, please take it away.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Well, Cameron, puns. You know what I'm talking about, puns. Yeah. They are critical to the success of any good Thai restaurant. So, here's a collection of cricket-themed names for imaginary Thai restaurants. How about AJ Thai, or Frank Tyson, or Pat Pad Thai, or, I like this one, Jimmy Massam Anderson. Carlos, I can tell you now, Pad, see you next Tuesday. Don't you look away. No idea what that meant, but it was an interesting pun. Sadly, and it is a sadness, none of these fine establishments are available at Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City, but Rose's Thai is. And if you buy the £100 Westfield gift card on or before March the 10th, you'll receive a £25 gift card for Rose's Thai. What a terrific offer.
Good. Good finish. I enjoyed that at the end. How's your mum getting on, Daniel? We'll go about Mother's Day?
Not so well. Her status still remains 6 feet under in an urn.
I don't know why I did that. Right. Hall of Fame. I've actually got one. Can I go first? Or do you want to go first?
Yes, please. No, you go first.
My first one. There is only one winner for me today, and it's Sherb Bashir, who finds himself getting further and further into my heart. He got clean bowled the ninth wicket. He had a nice partnership with Joe Root, and he immediately made the big tee to the umpire. And I was like, and I went, fucking hell, is he changing the game? Is he going to review a bowled dismissal? I just don't think he knew what had gone on. And so Joe Root went, you're fucking bowled, mate. Walk off. And he was like, oh, sorry, lads. And off he went. It was a wonderful moment from someone who, I'd love someone to ask him about it, because it's all a bit too serious at the moment. You can't really be that can't be the focus. But everyone says how funny and how kind of great a character he is around the dressing room. So I'm going to choose to believe for the moment that he was just having a bit of a laugh and a giggle. Or the alternative is he was being a fucking idiot, which is equally enjoyable.
No, I genuinely think that he didn't realise it and bowled him. And Root's, the look on Root's face at the non-striker's end was a picture of delight, wasn't it? We talk about smiling. I mean, he was absolutely convulsed. It was brilliant. For me, because that was going to be my choice.
Oh, well.
And so you've stolen my choice.
You shouldn't let me go first.
And, you know, no, I know I shouldn't, but there you go. Look, I mean, obvious Hall of Famer ought to be Jimmy Anderson taking his 700th wicket.
Oh, yeah.
You missing it? Because that is absolutely, not you missing it, but it's an incredible achievement, which I'm sure you'll talk about more tomorrow. But for me, if I can't have Sherb Bashir, mine is going to be the DJ. And it's not one moment. It was a series of moments. I just thought the selection of songs was absolutely cracking. Was it belted out you're halfway there at one point when they weren't halfway anywhere. They were down on their knees, but they were indeed living on a prayer at that point.
Yeah, very good.
As they had done for nearly this entire match. There were just some absolutely stonking songs. I loved the DJ at the Sharla, and I think he might be, or she might be, the best DJ in world cricket. So for me, yeah, he goes straight in, or she, to the top of the Hall of Fame.
It is a he. I can't remember his name. I had a little chat with him on day one about the Wi-Fi situation. And he went, "There's no Wi-Fi, mate." I went, "Oh, that's a shame." But I completely agree, because it's the first match of this series where
it's a great anecdote, that one. Great anecdote.
That's why I saved it for the end. Just want to keep people, really want to keep people to that dying breath, getting to that final ad roll. But yeah, and I remember getting day one, arriving at like 10 to 9 in the morning, like Tom Petty free-falling starts playing. You're looking around, you're like, in a fever dream. But yeah, it was wonderful. It was exciting. It's the final live match day, final word daily of this series. Me and Vish will be back tomorrow. And you never say goodbye on the final word, because as Adam and Jeff always say, can't stop, won't stop. The test in Christchurch is happening at the moment. They'll be continuing to cover the Aussie summer. Me and Daniel will next be back for you. Great question. Probably in a Surrey capacity, actually. But yeah. I would personally like to thank Daniel, and I would personally like to thank me, because I said thank you to Daniel. Anyway, this has been The Final Word, brought to you by Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. As always, more extra, less ordinary. Make sure to go and get those gift cards. And yeah, that's it from us. I'll be back tomorrow. Daniel won't be. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.